Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Love is a burning thing.
609, it's funny. Like, if I wear anything other than a golf shirt and shorts to work, time stops. Uh-oh. Steve put on a button-down shirt. You and I are going to be at the FBI later today doing a video for the FBI.
Yes.
All right, I'm confessing.
Are those rhinestones?
Yes, they are, exactly.
I thought you were going to a funeral.
Well, you never know. The days, you know, it's early.
Yeah, that's true.
At least I'm dressed for it. But
very nice, Steve. Very nice.
Thank you very much.
Hello, I dressed up too.
Yeah, you always look fabulous.
Thank you.
But our old friend Ross Rice,
yes,
is helping his old friends at the FBI. I don't know what Ross's official liaison sort of title is now, because he's a retired special agent.
He is. He does a lot with the Retired Agents Association.
Is that the deal?
Yeah.
But anyway, there's an anniversary of some sorts coming up. I don't even know what the anniversary is. It's the anniversary of the alumni?
I think it's the anniversary of the Chicago FBI, which is coming up in August, and our video is more of the history of the Chicago FBI. So we'll be talking about John Dillinger and a lot of the bad guys.
Bottom line is, we love the FBI. We love how hard they work. We love what they do and what they do every day. Not only do they never ask for credit, if you try to give them credit, they look at you like, don't ever try to give me credit again.
It's true.
And Ross Rice was, there's never been in my lifetime a better media spokesperson for an organization than Ross Rice.
I completely agree.
Because he was honest. He was factual,
mm-hmm.
and he was fast.
He was fast, and he would contact the media and say, hey, he would get out in front of the story and say, hey, I know you're going to be calling me. Here's the press release. Here's the story. And he'd give you an accurate statement
and
with what he could tell you.
Sometime you should ask him to pull out his book of bank robber names.
Yeah, I know. He came up with all of the names. You know, like, remember the Red Line Bandit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or he actually, it was called Bandit Tracker.
Well, he names all of my bands. Yeah. Ross Rice, I don't know if you know that.
That's very good.
Yeah. Yeah, Bandit Tracker is this fabulous website where bank robbers go when the security video from the bank is released seconds after the robbery takes place. And he told a great story, you know, and I don't know how many years ago this was, but a Chicago bank robber who got home and was already getting text messages or calls, I don't know if it was text message error or not, saying, hey, you're on Bandit Tracker, and he turned himself in. He called the FBI, and he said, here's my address. I'm not armed.
That's right.
Come pick me up. So the FBI here, we're big fans, and that's why you and I are doing that today.
Yeah, and we're graduates of the FBI Citizens Academy, which we both went through that class years ago.
Tremendous.
It was wonderful.
Honor to be a part of that and to learn what the FBI does. So anyway, that's why I'm not wearing golf shorts and a golf shirt today, at least not until I get home.
That's in the car.
I'm looking at his LinkedIn profile. He's very intimidating, Ross Rice.
Special Agent Ross Rice.
No, yeah, exactly.
By the way, Sandberg has this interesting thing she does when I'm like, I'm not dressed in a golf shirt and shirt. She comes out, she goes, you have a lunch today? A lunch today? It's not exactly why you look nice. It's, you have a lunch today?
You have a lunch today?
Yeah, you have a lunch today?
But when you do...
Did you shower?
When you do wear the golf shirts, you always look... They're always nice. They're not like, you know, messy or crinkly.
They're all disposable. I wear them once and I throw them away.
They always look pretty nice.
At 6:13, there's more than enough to do a show or two today. But here's the guest lineup. Ryan Dempster is scheduled to appear later. I say scheduled to appear because Ryan's been, not exactly reliable the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, where's he been?
Well, you know, he's retired now, so he just kind of wanders off into the woods occasionally.
Remember, he was in Venice once, too.
Yeah, well, it's a long way to go to avoid me. But he will be on the program today. Kendall Gill will be on the show today.
Yes, flying Illini.
Kendall Gill, you almost took your breath away there.
I know.
It almost took your breath away.
I love Kendall Gill.
Kendall Gill's super excited about your new look Chicago Bulls. I was listening to him last night. So
we can talk about that and also get his take on whether or not he's on the VP shortlist.
There you go.
For either candidate.
He's in studio, right?
That's sure.
Why I dressed up.
Whatever you need. Pat Brady here for Politics Thursday. And Eric Herman, not Eric Edelstein, Eric Herman, also a card-carrying Democrat. And he will be on. Eric Edelstein's on the road doing some work. Senator Kirk and I talked, and you and I and Senator Kirk talked yesterday, I don't know, right after the show,
I guess. Yeah, mm-hmm. Great interview.
So we'll play that back this morning. Chuck Todd is off doing whatever Chuck Todd does when he's off. And we're going to talk to Leon Caldwell, who's part of a thing that they do now, not just at Meet the Press, but at NBC News called The United States of Trump, where they go around and they meet the typical Trump voter. And they talk to the Trump voter, trying to figure out the phenomena.
Yeah.
So Leanne Caldwell will be on talking some politics this morning. Nick, in just a few minutes. The Make America Greater effort continues. So here's your text messages at 312-981-7200. That's the number. Text in how you would make America greater. Not make America great again. America's already great. But make America greater. And some of the suggestions that came up before were little ones. Some were big ones. Some were in between ones.
They were all pretty good.
They were. You don't throw trash out of your car.
Mm-hmm.
Don't text in a crosswalk.
Right. Don't text while you're driving at the red light.
Don't sit there and text.
Yeah.
Yeah. You sit there and text and you have to wait for somebody to honk their horn behind you. How about this? Get off the friggin' phone when you're in line at Walgreens. Or
oh,
at
yeah.
Jewel, you're checking out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, totally. I can't believe he said it either. How much, honey? Just pay and get out of the way.
There's nothing worse than somebody on their cell phone in an elevator, because then it's a really confined space.
Oh, no, I've got one that's worse for you, buddy.
Yeah.
And I know you've gone through this. You walk into a men's room. You're the only one standing at the urinal.
I already know where you're going.
And behind the closed door, you hear this. So, you want to get lunch?
Oh, no.
That's gross.
And for a minute, you're thinking, is talking to me? Because, you know, it doesn't immediately connect that the idiot in the stall is sitting there and he's on the phone with his buddy.
Do you guys ever see someone on the phone at the urinal?
I do that, by the way. Thank you.
Well, sitting
what?
And talking?
What?
Well, sometimes you just don't have a lot of time in your day.
Oh, stop.
What if it fell in?
Plenty of time.
Fell
you
in.
You are kidding me.
Well, it's not going to fall in from that position.
If somebody walked in to the Publix bathroom, I would proceed to hang up the phone. But
you talk on the...
Absolutely.
To talk on the phone while you're standing at the urinal, you've got to go hands-free.
have you guys seen that, though? I mean, have you witnessed that ever? I'm just curious.
I'm not a hands-free guy. Okay. I'm not.
On the phone? Or forget it.
I just think things need GPS at times, and that's one of them. 6:16, traffic from Mary, and the Knicks coming up on 720 WGN.
Another night with nothing to do. We can't get stuck at home again. What to see, what's out at the show. I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on GN's Cochrane Show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
There you go. That's the new Nick DiGiulio theme song. And if you go to Nick's house and you ring his doorbell, that's what plays. Good morning, buddy.
I've played it now 48 hours straight.
Pretty cool to have the musical talent of John DeCoste singing a song about you.
I totally agree. And, you know, as I mentioned to John, he parodied a song that I absolutely love that six people know.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he found out. I don't know how he found out. But
kind of makes you kind of concerning, isn't it? It's a Go West, King of Wishful Thinking. You know what's funny about all of John's songs? You get to a point where you've heard the John song so much, you forget what the original is.
That's
like you're
right.
Making, you go, well, hold on a second. What is that? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
When I hear it on a Lady Antebellum song, I can always think of John's. Isn't that the Dr. Most one?
Yeah, that is the Dr. Most one.
On my thigh.
Yeah,
that's the one Lady Antebellum ripped off.
Yeah.
That's the one. Nick DiGiulio joins us to tell us if The Secret Life of Pets is going to be any good.
I hope it is. It looks really good. I can tell you this. I don't know if my mom's been more excited about a movie in the past 30 years. So I can tell you that. But
it does. Like, I mean, it looks funny.
It does. It does. And, I mean, let me just go down the list of voice talents that they've got in this movie, Steve. I mean, it's pretty insane. It's Louis C.K.,
right.
Jenny Slate, Kevin Hart, Eric Stone Street, Lake Bell, Ellie Kemper, Albert Brooks, Bobby Moynihan, Steve Coogan, Dana Carvey, Hannibal Buress.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's very impressive, and they're all very funny people. So, and the plot is, you know, it's from the producers of the studios that did Despicable Me and the Minion movies. And it is about what happens when you leave your house and your pets are left alone and how they act and what they do. And so you find out what's going on when you leave your house. And a lot of the animals in the movie have a party. There's a particular cat, in the big fat cat, that likes to open up the fridge and eat whole turkeys while everybody's at work. And the main character is Max. He's a terrier, voiced by Louis C.K. And his owner brings home a big guard dog that doesn't get along with him. And they go out for a walk. They take him out for a walk. And then they end up getting lost, finding a bunch of cats led by Kevin Hart. And then they end up being caught in a truck to go to the pound. And then they have to make their way back to their homes. So it's a simple plot. It's the kind of
right. It's a thing you see over and over again.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of animals, Mike and Dave need wedding dates. Look, ever since the original Hangover was great because there were tons of surprises. You know, you got a tiger, you got Mike Tyson, you got Zach Galifianakis, who nobody knew was that funny. You got Bradley Cooper, who people didn't know could be that funny. You got dental issues. You got funny. You got a lot of funny in that original one, and then the air went out of the tires in two and even harder in three. This is supposedly another shot at trying to make another Hangover. Is that your sense of it as well?
Well, yeah. I gotta say this, Steve. I hated the original Hangover.
Yeah, I know you did, but you're one of the few.
Yeah, I know. I'm in the minority, but I think that movie is terrible. But yeah, it's in that vein. And whenever a vulgar R-rated comedy comes out, inevitably it gets compared to the Hangover, or it gets compared, you know, to the Apatow films. And stuff like that. The background on this movie, Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, and again, a really great and funny cast. You know, Adam Devine is really funny. Zac Efron is good. Anna Kendrick, Aubrey Plaza. These are very, very funny people. This is from the writers who gave us Neighbors and Neighbors 2.
That's really all you need to know, isn't it?
Yeah, and here's, you know, I did a little background on these guys because, you know, their only credits as writers are those two movies. I did a little background, and it looks like one of them, and I guess this is the reason why he got gigs, one of them started out as Judd Apatow's assistant on the set of 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, 10 years hanging around with Judd Apatow, you'll finally get movies made. And, you know, I've been hearing mixed things about this. To me, the trailers look terrible. You know, it just looks like another terrible, vulgar, R-rated slob fest. Not that I'm against, you know, vulgar humor at all.
I am.
But if it's funny, it's funny.
I am. The older I get, the less vulgar I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I go for a good bodily fluid joke every once in a while. If it's good. I'll be seeing this tonight before I start my show on Friday morning. I'm going to go see it at like the 11 o'clock p.m. show right before work. So,
all right, let's get a commitment for Tuesday here. Mary Vandeveld, are you in for Airplane Tuesday with Nick?
I'll be on vacation.
Oh,
so sorry. I would go.
Outrageous. Is Zanit in?
I think he's still gone.
Is he in Washington?
Oh, when's Zanit back?
I think he's back Tuesday.
He's back Tuesday.
99.9% certain.
Okay, so Tuesday night then.
Cleveland, Andrea?
I leave for Cleveland Wednesday.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be good.
Be totally fine.
Oh, a week from Wednesday, so I'm good.
Yeah, you'll be totally fine.
I'm good.
I'm in. Andrea's in. Sandberg, are you in?
I'm not.
Okay.
Wow.
Didn't she start out so definitive?
Didn't even ask what time.
It's like a Band-Aid. Just rip it off.
I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's your answer to a lot of things I've noticed lately.
I know. But I have the kids, so.
Well, why can't the kids come? It's about time they see that kind of material.
Yeah. I showed them Adventures in Babysitting, and you don't know how much swearing is in those movies that we got to watch that they're not supposed to be watching, and there's a don't F with the babysitter, and that's the what do you think they repeat constantly to me? Mary, don't F with the babysitter. It's like.
That's why you have to ground them.
Yeah.
That's why you ground them immediately. You know, you have to pre-ground them.
They stay mouth it.
Okay.
Jake, are you coming to the big Airplane movie Tuesday night?
No chance.
Well, Mary's got the kids. So, I mean, she is my radio wife, so.
Everyone's bailing.
So far, Andre, it's you and
I. Okay, me and you, we'll have a date here.
Yes, exactly. And Carmen, will you stand in for everyone on the show who isn't showing up?
Can't do it, Steve. I have commitments on Tuesday nights.
Wait, this is at 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
You're on vacation anyway.
I know, but you two going at 8 o'clock?
Nick's going to crank it up.
Nick's
going to show this at 5:14.
That's the commitment that we have.
Do you have
tonight.
A matinee?
We have the commitment to Nick.
Yeah,
we're going to move it to the very profitable hour of 4 p.m.
Right. That's good.
Early bird special.
We will be there. We can't guarantee it will be awake, or we can't guarantee it will be there when the credits roll, but we will be there.
It is. I mean, seriously, as you know, Steve, I mean, to see Airplane on the big screen with a big audience, you know, just laughing, because it is really, truly one of the most consistently funny movies ever made.
Cochran Show all-time top 10.
Yeah, absolutely. And the DiGilio Show all-time top 10 as well.
Yes. It's not Blazing Saddles, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
All right, man. Thanks.
That's Nick DiGilio. He'll go listen to his theme song some more. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Now, a lot of conservatives, you know, these characters that have been fighting me, never Trump, never Trump, oh, never Trump. These are people. Here's a guy, you talk about a great conservative, but he gets it. Some of these people don't get it. Never Trump. By the way, never Trump is disappearing rapidly. You heard about the 51 million? Anybody? Did anybody? What? 51? Raised $51 million, right? $51 million. Even Newt couldn't believe that. Right, Newt?
It's just unbelievable. It's like a malfunctioning Six Flags ride between his ears. I don't know what happens there. And the mosquito moment. Did you catch that? In the middle of a speech, and he goes, oh, there's a mosquito. Oh, I don't like mosquitoes. And he goes to swat the mosquito a couple of times. He goes, oh, mosquito. I mean, Hillary. Huh? What?
You've selected the perfect music, by the way, for
what?
Oh, perfect
what?
Music.
Yeah, thanks. That wasn't me. That was Jake. Leanne Caldwell does a great job for NBC News, and she is nice enough to join us this morning. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve.
I hope there's no mosquitoes near you. You know how Mr. Trump feels about them.
I know, but I am in D.C., so there's a lot.
Oh, no. The United States of Trump. Let's get a plug-in for this, because this is a look at the whole phenomena, right?
It is. Just posted to NBCNews.com this morning. It's Chapter 2 of a series we're doing. And what I did here is I took a look back at kind of the history of the modern-day Republican Party and how economic conditions, the political environment, cultural circumstances, and the Republican Party's response to all of this kind of led the way to Donald Trump's popularity.
The fallout then that creates what we now know as Trump's world that we're just living in goes back to approximately when? Like if you could timeline it, what's our best guess?
Well, I would say from Reagan to Romney, really.
Wow.
The Republican Party, I mean, Reagan, he built this party on super conservative values. And then, but a lot of his policies, actually, even though he was really popular with what would be considered Trump supporters today, former Democrats, white, middle class, working class men, especially, a lot of Reagan's policies are the policies that they're railing against today. He was a big proponent of free trade.
Right.
He passed a ton of tax cuts that benefited everyone, but disproportionately benefited the wealthy. He did the largest amnesty ever in immigration, as far as immigration is concerned. And so those are three components that are really angering a lot of Trump supporters today, where they say, the system is rigged. The system is unfair. It benefits the wealthy. It benefits immigrants. It benefits everyone but us. And so, but Reagan really instituted that. And policies that the Republican Party has continued.
Now, do you guys, when you put these together, do you talk to people who are ardent Trump supporters, or do you talk to everybody? And the reason I ask is, if Hillary Clinton weren't such a bad candidate, and if there was a real legitimate other choice, I don't know that Trump would be having the continued play that he has because of the mistakes he makes day after day after day after day. So in other words, do you run into people who say, yeah, I don't agree with what he says about everything, but the other choice is really bad?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the struggle of many Republicans right now. The only thing uniting Republicans in this presidential race is opposition to Hillary Clinton. You know, when Comey gave his press conference a couple of days ago,
right.
Even though she wasn't indicted, but she was, he was slamming Hillary Clinton, really. Republicans were like, finally, this is a good day for the Republican Party, and this is something that we can unite around and move forward. But Trump has totally squandered that opportunity by talking about mosquitoes and the star and praising Saddam Hussein. And so, you know, people who are opposed, Republicans I talk to who aren't fans of Trump but really dislike Hillary are just beside themselves. They really personally don't know what to do.
Leanne, who are the independents leaning toward, the undecideds at this point? Because you hear from so many people, I don't know who I'm going to vote for.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And
because that's the determiner. That's who's going to win this election. Who wins the middle?
Yeah, well, there's other people who do say as well. So there's two schools of thought on this. Some say it's the independents, it's the undecideds who are going to determine this election. But then there's some who are saying that they think that this is a turnout election. This is all about turning out the base and whoever can do that better. Because both candidates have such high unfavorables. Hillary Clinton's are above 50%. I mean, in politics, if you're close to 50% and your unfavorable ratings, you can never win an election. But the thing going for Hillary Clinton is Trump's are almost 70%. And so you have the two most unpopular candidates running against each other in modern politics history. And so these independents who aren't yet decided, these people who are still sitting on the sidelines, they haven't made up their mind yet. I mean, there's just so much coverage of it. But it might actually be the base who turns out, and both candidates are going to have a problem or could have a problem turning out their base.
There's not, and I won't get too far off the lane here, but it seems to be legitimate to follow up here. There's never been a better opportunity for the Libertarian Party, or for kind of a lot for the Green Party, for somebody to step up and really make some noise. And the Libertarians, where the news cycle is basically saying, give us something to talk about, have really dropped the ball here. You have two compelling stories with a couple of governors, especially Weld, who was the vice presidential part of the ticket, and they seem to have disappeared. I don't get it.
It's absolutely true. I think that people, like more mainstream people, Republicans especially, would prefer someone like Weld at the top of the ticket. You know, Gary Johnson was a former governor of New Mexico, and so he has extreme legitimacy in the political realm. But, you know, people say he's not totally in the mold of what we're looking for. Weld, the Libertarian vice presidential candidate, anyway, people are much more intrigued by him. But the reason he's not at the top of the ticket either is because he could not never get through a Libertarian primary. And so Gary Johnson was able to do that. Weld was able to win the vice presidential slot of that primary. But, yeah, people want to stay within the Republicans, especially I'm talking to. They don't want a third party. They just want a different candidate in their party.
Yeah, it's just the third party opportunity here is unlike any I've seen in my lifetime. And there's an opportunity that's being missed by people not getting behind. It's like we were talking about a few minutes ago before Leanne joined us. Mm-hmm. You know, bitch less, do more. You know, make America greater. Mm-hmm. It's not good enough to just whine about it and go, oh, it'd be great if there have to be a third party. There has to be a commitment to it, and there hasn't been.
Leanne, who do you see accepting, or who do you see Trump asking to be his running mate? Maybe top two names on the list.
I think that it's going to come down to the last person standing. People keep dropping out of this contest by the day. And the person that's standing is Newt Gingrich. I think that he has a real shot of being that. He's been defending Trump over the past few months. Chris Christie, I think, would want the job, but he has a lot of downfalls, including this Bridgegate scandal, still not over. He's very similar as far as his personality is concerned to Trump. And he's New Jersey. He's another moderate. Conservatives are not looking for a moderate to run with Trump, who they, you know, the conservatives don't trust Trump's conservative credentials anyway. The only other person I would think is Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana. He is a conservative. People outside, I should say people outside of Indiana really like him. He's really struggling there. He's up for re-election, and there's a very good chance that he could lose his re-election race. And so that could be a natural alternative for him to keep him in the political game, and it would give him another job. But he, you know, he was considered a conservative. He was a member of Congress in D.C. People tend to like him, and I think that that would appeal to the conservative base a little bit. So I think that those are the top three.
What about the idea that because it's been nothing traditional, and every time you think, well, there's some strategy involved, you wake up again and you realize, well, there's no strategy. It's Trump. He gets up and his mouth opens. What about he picks somebody completely out of politics? Somebody completely, you know, I mean, not Omarosa necessarily, but I think it was Senator Corker who said Ivanka is the best candidate, but nobody would ever go for it. Is there somebody like that that Trump could go for?
You know, I mean, we don't have anyone on our list that, you know, we have a lot of people out there at NBC News scavenging, trying to find who the possibilities are. We haven't heard any names outside of there, but I will tell you, some colleagues of mine and I were talking a couple months ago about how if Donald Trump could name Ivanka as his running mate, he probably would.
I'm telling you right now, if you're a Trump supporter, you better hope that he doesn't see Kevin Spacey's House of Cards, because if he sees the plot line for this past season, Ivanka's going to get it.
I know.
So, hey, nice talking to you. Congratulations on the success. And let's tell people again where they can see United States of Trump.
Thanks, Steve. It's NBCNews.com/Trump.
And episode 2 or second edition's up today.
Yes, it is. It's called A Party Divided. And it's a very, it's a complete history of how we got to Trump, talking about economic conditions and when these blue collar white male workers, not totally loyal to the Republican Party, but they have been suffering for 3 decades now, and they are looking for someone to change it.
6:51. Thank you. 6:51. We'll come back and have Pat Brady and Eric Herman in for Eric Edelstein join us. And then the great senator from the state of Illinois, Kendall Gill.
This is great insight, though. United States of Trump.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I know Joni Ernst's name had been floated as well.
She didn't want it either.
She said nope.
What about Omarosa?
She has not said nope, but Senator Corker also pulled his name out.
Yeah, they're all out. Six 56, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, there are women who are headed to work this morning who know they're facing another day of sexual harassment at work. That's Gretchen Carlson's claim. Gretchen Carlson, the former Miss America, who has left Fox News. Well, I shouldn't say left. That's like saying I left here. She was not renewed. Her contract was not renewed. You can call it fired. You can call it anything you want, but she's no longer at Fox News, and she has filed a sexual harassment suit against the chairman of Fox News, Roger Ailes, who started the network for Rupert Murdoch back in the day. Roger Ailes has got to be 70, isn't he?
At least.
And not exactly George.
76.
76. Not exactly George Clooney.
No, not even in the realm.
I don't know if he's overdoing it on the Viagra, but he seems to be quite frisky. And the statements attributed to Roger Ailes by Gretchen Carlson in the lawsuit she filed yesterday are very specific and would be very hard or very awkward to make up. Yesterday afternoon, it was revealed by Gretchen Carlson's attorneys that 10 other women at Fox News have reported similar complaints once Gretchen Carlson was the first one to come forward. Mm-hmm. So all I would say is, if you're a victim of sexual harassment at work, everything we've learned about sexual harassment is this: it's in the eyes of the beholder. It's in the eyes of the harassee. And if you don't have an HR department, there are other people you can speak with. If you do have an HR department, you need to speak up and talk about it. Why did Gretchen Carlson wait until she was out? Well, that's a question she'll have to answer during the course of the lawsuit, because that'll certainly be one of the defenses that Roger Ailes people go ahead and use. But I can tell you, this is not an unusual situation. It happens everywhere. This is just very high profile. And if you're the guy at work who is trying to get the woman at work to sleep with you, and then you give her a promotion, you're next. You're an idiot. Couple of minutes before 7, we'll come back with your news on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You music fills a world within it.
7:10 in the morning.
With a language we all understand.
Kendall Gill later on Dwayne Wade coming home. Dwayne Wade's getting how much, Mark Carmen?
$47.5 million, Steve. Could have gotten 52 from the Nuggets.
So that's 23,750,000 per bad knee.
That's correct.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a good price.
And again, for people who missed it last hour, you think this is a good move or a bad move?
I think it's a fine move with what they're trying to do. I think they're super excited over there. They're now relevant again, which is what they want.
Right. So the reason it's a good move is to sell tickets. It's not necessarily a good move to win a bunch of basketball games. Is that where you are?
Right. Okay. No. Well, no one's winning anything in the NBA for the next 5 years.
It's just Golden State?
Golden State, LeBron. We'll see what happens. The rest of you can just, you know, make some dough, sell some tickets. Everybody come on out.
And yet you love the NBA. Come on over to the icy side.
Well, hold
Join
on.
Me at the rink. It's 7-Eleven. And Senator Mark Kirk sat down with Andrea and me yesterday, and I think he'd just come off the Senate floor, as a matter of fact, and we talked a little bit about, well, we talked about a number of things, but certainly about his stand-up and take a stance, against Donald Trump and his own party.
We have got to have the next senator for Illinois who puts the state ahead of party. In my case, the difference between me and Tammy Duckworth is that she has always put party ahead of principle. She'll do whatever Democratic Party people order her to do. In my case, my independence is pretty clearly demonstrated when I de-endorsed Donald Trump, that it indicated to me that I felt that Donald Trump was too bigoted and racist for the land of Lincoln.
And when you think about what Reince Priebus stood up and said the Republican Party needed after 2012, which was a changeover, an outreach to Hispanic voters, a more welcoming, more understanding party, Trump doesn't represent any of that.
Right. There's the interesting in the race between me and Duckworth, I have challenged her to a debate in Spanish that we hopefully will do on Telemundo. I thought in her case, as a Democrat, she would try to put it forward the case that she can represent Latinos better without speaking a word of Spanish. For me, I went to school in Mexico and we have a great affection for Mexican culture and the language there. I would say that I'm a much better representative, and maybe that's why latest polling showed me leading among Latinos.
It's a really interesting idea, and I did not know it was in play. So where does it stand?
I don't.
She not responded.
Her advisors have. They don't think she's good on our feet like I am.
Okay.
And they don't let her in any unscripted interview like the one we're having right now.
It's Senator Mark Kirk, and of course he is up for re-election. What is the campaign website?
The campaign website is kirkforsenate.com.
All right, let me ask you some senator questions as well in the midst of this. This week officially, we got the report from Comey at the FBI about Hillary Clinton's actions regarding the email server. We found out they were servers. And there was
and
really outrageous behavior for someone in her position. And certainly in the chain of command in the State Department, logic would dictate that there had to be somebody that said, Madam Secretary, this is a bad idea. Didn't that have to happen?
I'll tell you, in my time in Navy Intel, which is 23 years, I never saw outside a classified domain an SCI SAP piece of data. To have that outside the workplace, that is pretty shocking. SCI SAP stands for Special Compartmented Information. SAP stands for Special Access Program, meaning that only a few people can be read into that program. It is so sensitive. It's supposed to be kept only to that select group of people. For those of us who deal with national security data, SCI SAP data is really sensitive. I'm surprised that she had it on an open server. And what I picked up from Comey's interview there was she even used her personal email when she was abroad. Obviously, when you're abroad, you're going through servers and routers that the local country intel service collects. They have no idea among the millions of email addresses out there, which one is hers or where the server is, where the domain is. By using her email, personal email, she would be identifying exactly where the domain is and signal it. Remember that one ex-CIA agent had said, it would be a political malpractice for me not to attack that server with everything that I had. I will note that that Comey said he thought it was possible that hostile powers got access to her,
right,
her server, like this the Romanian guy, Grucifer, mm-hmm, claims that he got connected to it.
Yeah, and because of that, and because of what Comey said, you have to believe, even within the chain of command, she didn't get to be Secretary of State without understanding that she couldn't be in a position where state secrets could be compromised. So I don't even understand, outside of the old cliche, and cliches, by the way, become cliches because they're proven to be true over and over again, that the Clintons sometimes feel the rules don't apply to them.
That's right. I don't know if I got my legality all right here. I think on the Official Records Act, you have to use official resources in your communications. And she felt that that did not apply to her. Probably because she knew she was going to run for president one day and didn't want to see some embarrassing email. If you look at the Comey statement, it read like an indictment. When I was listening to it, I felt like, oh, they've really been working on a possible indictment here. When we got 15 minutes into the presentation, I thought, wow, this decision of hers to not do email on a government server really brought her close to the edge. As I remember from TV, the penalties were like $10,000 or 10 years in jail. Be pretty hard to run for president from jail for her. She even risked that problem. It's political recklessness that Democrats should really rebuke her for, to lead their whole party to that level of risk of losing the next election.
Yeah, just careless beyond belief. So going
and you wonder if SCI SAP data is getting leaked. Did anybody get killed for that? And that's the vulnerability analysis that we usually do when we know something that could have gotten out. We should do a complete vulnerability analysis on what went into her server there and see if anybody got hurt, if a hostile power got hold of that data.
I share your concerns about Trump every day with people. And then, mm-hmm, I look at the alternative choice here, and I never thought I'd be in a position to even consider voting for Hillary Clinton, and yet here we are with those being our two main choices. I don't know what to say to people every day when they say, well, what are we supposed to do?
Cochran, I got a way out for you. I'm gonna write in Petraeus when I vote.
Well,
I would encourage you. I want to see Petraeus get a lot of votes, so that just shows that there are thinking people out there really concerned about the security of the United States and thinking that someone who is an outstanding potential commander-in-chief should be our new leader. With these two choices that you almost think it's Tweedledee-Dum.
And Tweedledee-Dumber?
And Tweedledee-Bad. I gotta find a rhyming way to do that.
Hey, before I let you go, to bring it back to the campaign for a second, I want to get Andrea Darlis in here because there was breaking news this week as well about your opponent. Andrea, say hi to Senator Kirk.
Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Andrea, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to talk to you. I know you and I spoke a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the lawsuit, the workplace lawsuit against Tammy Duckworth, your opponent, which had been settled. And at the time you said to me, if that settles, it'll mean dot, dot, dot. What do you think of the settlement?
She was forced to pay a $26,000 fine, which shows he really did some bad things to those people. Let's go through the case. Why did Tammy Duckworth get into such trouble? She was ordered by Blagojevich operatives to take on a couple of, we all know what they look like. We have all met them. And these are the typical kind of political hacks that serve the Democratic Party of Cook County. In that nursing home that she was titular in charge of, she got word from the nurses and doctors, and they needed to be dismissed, represented a danger to the veterans in that facility. Duckworth said shut up and you'll keep your job. And they didn't shut up. We in this whistleblower situation, we've got to protect those people who protected us, which are our veterans. In real life, people don't pay $26,000 because they did nothing. In her case, she did a lot of bad things. And the irony of this case is she just turned right around and stuck the taxpayers of Illinois with the bill for a bankrupt state now to be paying $26,000 for Tammy Duckworth's misdeeds is a real tragedy for our state.
Again, the Kirk campaign website is?
Is kirkforsenate.com.
And I believe the Kirk Senator website for the office, where people just get a hold of you for day-to-day senatorial business, is kirk.senate.gov. Is that right?
It is, yeah.
All right.
And you know, just Google me, and you'll hit the official site.
Nice to talk to you again. I appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me on.
The Steve Cochran Show continues. Eric Edelstein is traveling. Pat Brady's here. Pat, where do you work? I forget.
Next Generation Strategies.
And that's a front for whatever you really do?
Play a lot of golf.
Pat's company, Next Generation Strategies, does a lot of fine work for a lot of fine people, and he's the official Next Generation Strategies of the show. Yeah. Meanwhile, with Edelstein out, we said, well, we got to talk to somebody who's a little more left than Pat, so let's find Eric Herman.
We have to find another Eric, you said.
Yeah, they all have to be named Eric. Yes. That's exactly right. Eric Herman joins us. You might remember Eric from the Sun-Times days. Also did some fine work with David Axelrod. Good morning, Mr. Herman.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Thanks for having me.
Let's stop messing around, Eric. Who's Hillary going to pick as a VP?
What?
Come on. You know. Tell us.
Truly, I don't know. And in fact, I am in a betting pool with my brother and another guy. So I've actually got some money in this game here. My money is on Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio. But, you know, a lot of people think that Tim Kaine, the senator from Virginia, is in post position. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of those two fellas.
What about Cory Booker? Not so much?
You know, possibly. Possibly. He certainly would address the generational issue where Clinton, you know, still has a little bit of weakness. Her appeal to younger voters, I think, is probably not as compelling as she would like it to be. And I think Senator Booker would address that. I still, though, Ohio is such an important state. And, you know, Senator Brown has strong union relationships where I think that that would benefit Hillary. So that's my money's on him.
Is there a concern in and amongst the Democrats that because there's a very good chance to take back control of the Senate and possibly even the House, you wouldn't want to have a senator picked for VP because you don't want to give up any seats?
Absolutely. I mean, that's really the big argument against Sherrod Brown. And also, let's also add Senator Elizabeth Warren into that, because Massachusetts also has a Republican governor. I think that the counterargument to that is, well, this is the White House we're talking about, and the White House is more important. I'm not saying I believe that, but I think that there are those who would make that argument.
Pat Brady, say hi to Eric.
Hey, Eric, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Living the dream.
By the way, I want your job, Pat.
Yeah, I was just kidding about that. I have many clients. I work very hard, right, Steve?
Yes, right. Whatever you say. Yes, sir. Pat Brady, I'll ask you the same question about Trump. I mentioned Omarosa hasn't been asked yet. But yesterday in the mass exodus from the Trump VP race where everybody said no, one of the suggestions that came up was Ivanka. As goofy as this whole campaign's been, why not Ivanka?
Wasn't that House of Cards?
That's exactly right. Yeah, except it was the wife.
Is she qualified to be president? Probably more so than her husband. So, yeah, maybe it works.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about the TV show. Talking about the daughter now. And actually, she's not married to Donald Trump. He just wanted her to be at one point.
I'm sorry. I get him mixed up because he did say that. Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm not up on all my Trump business. But the whole family's, I think, the only people speaking at the convention. So we'll get to know them very well.
But Ivanka is smart. She seems reasonable. All the strategy that all the news channels try to attribute to Donald, she actually tries to engage in a little of it. It's sort of like, to me, it's like the Libertarian Party. If you put Ivanka at the top and make Trump the VP, I don't know, maybe I look.
Well, at some point, everybody wakes up, and I think people have already started to, and realize it's not a joke. This is President of the United States, leader of the free world, controls the world's largest economy. So I don't think that even the mention of that to me just underscores what a joke this campaign is.
Eric, how much of a gift is it to the Democrats that Trump hasn't talked about Hillary's bad week?
Truly, Donald Trump is the gift that keeps on giving to the Democrats. on the subject of potential VPs, this rally he had with Newt Gingrich, I don't know if you guys have seen this video, but yeah. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That's a forward-looking ticket, just what we need. What's the age there, 150 between the two of them?
Right. It's close. Actually, it is close. Yeah, it's 74 and 70. Yeah.
Although you would have the millennial saying, who's Newt Gingrich?
I got to say this.
They forgot all the stuff that we were trying to forget.
Newt looks good for his age, so if you have a relative that's a little bit crazy, maybe they're going to age well. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Steve. But I will say, I mean, think about if you're a Republican, why would you? I mean, think about the damage you would do to your political brand by being this guy's running mate. I mean, maybe it's hard for me to see any sort of top tier Republicans who would be willing to be his running mate. I don't know, Pat. What do you think?
I agree. And then Trump throws this list out of people like Tom Cotton, double Harvard Afghanistan war veteran, saying that I'm thinking about him, and Tom Cotton won't even be in the same room with him. So, and then Trump will say, well, I wasn't really considering him. So I don't see, but I do think it's going to be a head fake on all these names. It'll be somebody that just wants to look and listen at Donald Trump and not really be active at all.
It's got to be Christie. And I know he's still got legal trouble, but Christie has been holding his coat now for months.
Yeah, but usually don't, Eric, you see what you think on this. Usually pick, there's some reason for it. Either geographic, it's going to help you in
you
a
again,
state.
Now you're doing it. You're applying strategy to Trump. Oh, what makes you think that he gets up in the morning and strategizes?
No, he just tweets. That's right.
That's right. There's a legitimate concern amongst the Trump campaign that when Trump decides who his VP is, he will tweet it out that morning and completely miss the news. I'm not kidding. That's the Trump people.
Well, a little
fact Trump people have been saying about
the same person that vetted Sarah Palin's is leading his vet camp or effort for the VP.
I mean, Steve, your point about tweeting it. I mean, I know you're being funny, but there's
no, I'm not. I'm serious.
There's truth to that because Trump. I mean, first of all, I used to cover this guy when I was a reporter in New York years ago. I covered this guy before he entered politics. I mean, Trump is someone who will say absolutely anything. There is nothing he will not say. And he doesn't mean any of it, but he'll say anything. And he is, I mean, think about if you're this guy's campaign staff. He's completely out of control. And I think that this rally yesterday where Trump reignited the whole issue with the Star of David, which was beginning to fade a little bit, and he just reignited it and breathed all this new life into it.
And by the way, for people that want to compare his Frozen reference to the Hillary Clinton reference, the Hillary Clinton reference was a picture layered over stacks of cash with the word corruption next to it. The other was a Disney Frozen comic book cover. So, look, they can't even find the right argument there. And the thing is, there's so many great young Republicans or younger Republicans that ought to be in the middle of this, and they just don't want to be a part of it because they're hoping it's all going to go away. All right, Eric, I hope you'll do this again because you're a big help.
Oh, thanks. No, this was really fun. Appreciate it.
Hold the line, if you would, please. We'll come back. Get your big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The people of AC are determined to turn things around. You've got a city council and a mayor working hand in hand. And if your governor would start doing his job instead of following Donald Trump around holding his coat, maybe we could really get New Jersey's economy moving again.
I just love when she ad-libs. It's like if Trump would maybe occasionally read and if Hillary would occasionally not read, God, they'd look like human beings.
She's the least aspirational, least effective candidate I've ever seen.
And they both should go to bed at night and thank God for each other, because if there were other people in the race in either party, they'd be out.
Yeah,
it's outrageous. All right, so Hillary Clinton yesterday making a point that Donald Trump was a massive failure in Atlantic City. It's documented. It's true on every level. There, you cannot deny it.
Well, the Plaza, too.
Yeah, exactly. But we also can't deny that he's had tremendous success in other forms. But this idea that Atlantic City was a blip on the radar screen, it almost ruined him, and he ruined a lot of people in the process. It's a fact. Do your homework. Look it up. So getting back to the Trump VP position, we never quite answered this. Who's going to take it?
I honestly don't know.
I don't either.
I've gone through all the names, and I just don't know. And I think Eric Herman makes a great point. It's a career ender for anybody that does it. So we'll see. But I do think it's going to be some kind of head fake. It's going to be somebody we don't know, out of the box kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not convinced it's not going to be somebody from the business world or somebody that's not a politician. Because for a guy that doesn't strategize about anything, why would he listen to anybody that says you need a politician?
Yeah, you're probably right.
So
the convention's going to be something to see.
It's just outlandish. You will be there starting when?
Sunday.
1 week from this?
Yes.
Okay. And as a Kasich delegate, what is your role on the floor? Or do you just roll on the floor?
Well, a couple things. Quickly, we talked about trying to get the rules changed so we can vote. The delegates can vote their conscience. And it's an active effort right now. I just talked to a guy last night from Texas. So we'll see what the Rules Committee does. If that doesn't change, my role will be I'm going to vote for John Kasich because he hasn't released me as a delegate. And I'll probably vote for him anyway, but I'm not voting for Donald Trump. So I think what's going to roll out is Trump will win it on the first ballot. Then the out come the flying monkeys and the supermodels, and that'll be the end of the convention.
When the Rules Committee meets starting that same weekend, they have the opportunity to change the rules. But
yeah,
it's
the week before. I think it's Wednesday.
Oh, it's next week.
Yeah.
Can you see a scenario? I know the discussion will take place, but can you see a scenario where they come up with rules that essentially negate the votes of 13 million people?
Well, I don't agree with the premise because the role of the delegates has always been, from the very beginning of having delegates, is to choose a nominee that can actually win. And
I get that, but the perception would be that 13 million people's votes would be negated.
Yeah, and that's perception, but the reality is the rules are written every convention right before the convention, and they tailor the rules to the candidate, like they did with Mitt Romney,
right,
to keep Rand Paul from getting his name placed in nomination. They put in a rule that you have to have won 8 states.
So Ron Paul.
Excuse me, Ron Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Ron Paul. So the rules are rewritten every year. But it's inside baseball stuff, which is what people hate. So this is not the year to be doing things like that just give off the impression that...
But has there been enough damage to the Republican Party at this point that it's unrecognizable? So if you're going to do something, why not do that? Or is the larger vote going to be, look, we're going to lose the White House. Let's lose it for 4 years, not 8.
Yeah, that's my view. If we're going to break it all the way, and then let's fix it. And I think we can. You made the point earlier. There are a number of great young,
so many great young Republicans,
from Paul Ryan, Susana Martinez, Nikki Haley. I mean, go down the list. Much, much deeper bench than the Democrats have, and I believe just philosophically are on the right side of most issues. But this disaster, we just got to get through it.
Andrea wants us to make our VP picks and put them in envelopes and seal them now.
I think we should for both candidates.
It's 7:47. Hang around 1 second, Pat. Kendall Gill will join us too in just a second. Pat and Kendall will play together at Illinois. It's time now for your traffic update as I continue to ridiculously tie everything together on the show.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Wade, the long shot. Wade got it. Wade is second three. Oh, my goodness. Dwayne Wade from downtown. Another prayer has been answered for D. Wade. Got it by Whiteside. Out to Dragic. 3-on-1 run. Dwayne Wade, right hand hammer.
Walker's going to go to the rim.
And blocked from behind by Dwayne Wade. He is everywhere.
Courtesy of the Miami Heat Radio Network, Kendall Gill, ILL.
INI.
Charlotte Hornets, the old Seattle Supersonics, the Nets, the Heat, the Wolves, the Bulls, the Bucks. Obviously difficult to work with. And joins us now, Kendall Gill. Nice to have you back on the program, and always nice to have you on WGN.
Thank you.
And were you difficult to work with, Kendall?
No, not really.
Okay.
You ask my wife that, it might be a different story.
Okay, good. All right, so Dwayne Wade joins the team. I'm having trouble wrapping my head around how this is going to work from a chemistry standpoint. Is that important or not?
Well, I think that you have two champions now on your team in Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade, who's going to go down as one of the best to ever play the two-guard position and a three-time champion. I think they'll find a way to get it done because at this point, Rondo being 30, Dwayne Wade being 34, will be 35, I believe, in January with a young all-star in Jimmy Butler. They want to win at this point, and it's not about personal accolades. I think it's just about team chemistry, and then D Wade, you know, of course, coming home to finish up his career.
Kendall, let's make you the GM for a second, and I know you weren't thrilled with the Rose trade, but so would you have traded Rose, Noah, and Dunleavy for Dwayne Wade, Robin Lopez, and Rajon Rondo?
No, I would not have. You know, I probably, if I was a GM, I probably would have held on to D Rose and, you know, made trades elsewhere. But, you know, and then if D Wade had come aboard, then you have a backcourt of Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade. I mean, I think that's pretty good. So, you know, I wouldn't have made that trade.
You can follow Kendall on Twitter at KendallG13. All right, so you're optimistic about this upcoming Bulls season. What do you want to say to Bulls fans to make them optimistic?
Well, one thing you can say about the Bulls, I mean, they keep it interesting. You know, with the trade for Derek, it was surprising to us. And now with the signing of Dwayne Wade, it's surprising. And, you know, they put together, I think, a really good backcourt in Rondo and D Wade. I still think that Dwayne, even though he'll be 35 years old soon, I think he still has a lot left in the tank. Averaged 19 points per game last season and did a really good job of carrying the Miami Heat in the playoffs. And I think that Rajon Rondo, you know, he's been with four teams in the last 2 years. I think that, you know, he has something to prove too. He has to prove to us that, you know, he can be a good teammate, a good player, and adapt to a system, because we all know about his problems in Dallas and his problems with George Karl in Sacramento and also with Doc Rivers in Boston. You know, so I think this is an opportunity for him to redeem himself. So I think it's going to be a good year.
Yeah, now here's the thing about that, because you as a player have played at the highest level and succeeded everywhere you've played. Does that team killer sort of rap, does that ring with players as well, or is that just a fan thing?
No, it rings with players. Players know, and I think this is Rondo's last opportunity to prove himself. You know, he's got a nice contract. I wish back in my day I could have got a contract for $28 million. But, you know, if he does well this year, I know the second year isn't fully guaranteed, but, you know, if he does well this year, then he'll become guaranteed and he can go on and finish up his career on a high note. And I think with Dwayne Wade there, with the strong Bulls organization, that he'll conform and everything will be okay.
Confidence level in Fred Hoiberg to blend this whole thing together, that's a pretty high task even for a seasoned guy, and Fred coming into his second year.
Yeah, it is. I think that one thing Fred has to do is, you know, learn from last year, make the adjustments that you need to make, and also, you know, take information and from the experience of Dwayne Wade and Rondo. You know, these guys are former champions, so you know, you're not going to fool them with any schemes. If your system doesn't work and they say that, you know, we need to do this or that, then you still have to be the captain of the ship, but you still have to take the information from your team and use it effectively. And I think that with these two guys on board, that it'll help Fred out a great deal.
Hey, Kendall, real quick, what do you think about Charles Barkley's comments about Kevin Durant jumping on other teams, just chasing a title? I mean, he went pretty hard at him.
Yeah, he did, but hey, listen, you know, Kevin Durant has the freedom to go wherever he wants to go. He gave the Oklahoma City Thunder 9 years of his career. He did a great job there. Now, if it were me personally, I would still want to beat those guys. I think that the Oklahoma City Thunder had the roster to defeat the Golden State Warriors. They came up short, but you know, he has the freedom. I mean, that's what free agency is for. You can go anywhere you want to go. You know, and if I were Kevin Durant, I probably would have ended up in either Washington. I would have gone back home because played with John Wall, Bradley Beal, Gortat, and Nene Hilario. That's a pretty good team with Kevin Durant on it. Or Miami or Boston, one of those two. But I would not have gone to the Golden State Warriors, you know. But as I said before, the guy has the freedom to go wherever he wants to go.
Yeah, and the money's great, obviously, but he could have made more in other places, and we're out of time here. But I am curious, because it's a different sort of chemistry problem than one we're talking about. There's only one basketball, and guys have to get a certain amount of touches during a game to get in rhythm. And Curry needs shots, and certainly Durant's got to have his ability to play. They're vastly different positions, but is there enough basketballs to go around?
I think so, but I think those a lot of those shots will come from Draymond Green, and I'm sure that Steph will give up some shots, as well as Klay Thompson. The problem, I think, with Golden State now is in the middle, you know, because now you've lost your both of your big men. And who's going to fill that space? I know they just signed David West and a couple more players, but now you don't have the same rim protectors in there as you had last season. So that's where the problem, I think, lies with the Golden State Warriors.
Kendall Gill, nice to talk to you, and we'll see you on pre and post on Comcast for the Bulls, and follow him at KendallG13. Thanks, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
801, Dean coming up. Also, Ryan Dempster scheduled to appear in the next hour. And after 9 o'clock, Eric Bolling from Fox News, as of this point, has not filed a lawsuit against his boss. This is 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
8:14 now, Dean Richards live from Los Angeles. What are you doing in L.A.?
I saw the movie that everyone is talking about last night.
You're talking about Me and the Original Grumpy Old Men?
That is the one. They're doing a big marathon, a Grumpy Men marathon.
That's right. No, you must be referring to Ghostbusters.
I saw the new Ghostbusters movie last night.
Now, I know you can't review it, but what did you think?
Well,
I figured Dean's not tired enough now that I could get him to review it without him even knowing.
I can't wait to hear it.
I'm going to say that all the talk that's going on is, Steve, a bunch of hooey.
Ah, interesting. If the new Ghostbusters were a cheeseburger, would you enjoy the cheeseburger?
I would say that I love cheeseburgers.
Huh. What about this particular cheeseburger? Because believe it or not, you can have a bad cheeseburger.
I have never actually experienced a bad cheeseburger in my life.
Wow, you're doing well. You're really
if
doing
I were
well.
Talking about the cheeseburger that you're talking about, I would enjoy it.
Ah. But that's not a review.
No.
I
want people to understand it's not a review.
No, I'm not allowed to say a word about the movie until tomorrow. But
would I be weird if I thought that exchange between you two was just a little bit sexy?
No, okay. It's fine. No, it's totally fine.
It really was.
Totally fine.
You would definitely be weird.
Thanks. Now, I know you're not on the show tomorrow, so how are we going to get your actual review?
Well, the movie doesn't open until a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, actually, we don't care about that. We want to know the minute you're willing to reveal.
Yeah, well, I'll be in the air, so there's no way for me to...
Can you have the pilot stop so you can call?
Maybe I could do that. I could ask him to postpone the flight for a minute while I call my friend Steve.
All right, can I ask you about a couple movies that are out this weekend?
I also want to mention just one other thing about this movie that I'm not reviewing.
Yeah, go ahead.
That you got to stay for the credits if you're going to see... Let me put it this way. You know, when you go to see a movie, you should stay till the very end of the credits because there are often little surprises at the end.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all true. I'm saying in general.
Remember how funny the outtakes were for Gone with the Wind when they ran those at the end after the 5.5-hour movie?
That's very true.
All right, hold on. More with Dean in just a second. It's 8:17. Dean laying down or standing up? What do you think?
Lay down.
Yeah, it sounds like he's laying down.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
8:22. Dean, we want to wish a good luck today to a listener of the program and a big fan of yours who has some surgery today.
Who is that?
That's my mom.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So,
She's having
Are you talking about what kind of surgery? And
she's having me removed. She's having eye surgery. She's having some routine eye surgery today.
Oh, good.
But, you know, I don't know how routine it is. I just said, listen, I don't want to pressure you, but I think you either got to pick out the Ray Charles Ray-Bans or the Stevie Wonder braids now, just in case.
Nice. That's mean.
Well, you got to be prepared. No, she's going to be fine. She's going to be fine. She's going in soon. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
All surgery has a little bit of risk, but, you know, we have such a group of fantastic doctors in our Chicago area hospitals. I'm sure she'll be fine. But
I got her a guy at the O'Hare Oasis. Is that a good idea?
You can't really do eye surgery at a kiosk. That's not a good idea.
All right, since you're not going to be on tomorrow, I have to ask you about the other movies. What's this What Pets Do When We're Out of the House thing?
Secret Life of Pets.
That's it.
It's delightful, Steve.
Should I go now?
Do you have a pet?
I don't, but I've always had dogs.
I
just don't
know.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember, but you know, I've always wondered as a dog lover, when I leave my house, what my you know, what the pets do. Because I have a secret idea that they break into the liquor cabinet and make long distance phone calls.
Right, and the boy dogs make sloppy calls to the girl dogs when they're loaded, that type of thing.
Right. Yeah. I always suspected that one. On this movie is about that, when the owners, you know, leave, what the pets do. There's a little bit more of a storyline to this one, but maybe because I'm a dog lover, I love this movie so much. I think it's incredibly entertaining for the kids, but also, if you're a pet owner, you're going to sit and laugh at this one. I'm going to give it. Now, pretending this is tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm giving this a Dean's List B.
Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah. Now, is it going to be awkward when I go to the movie and I make the little kids who are there sit closer together, or maybe double up so they don't get in my way? Hey, Timmy, move over.
If you're making them sit near you.
No, Timmy, I need a seat for my popcorn. Get out of here.
Yeah, that'll be weird. Hey, kids, come and sit near me. I'm a grown man here sitting by myself.
Well, I'm just going to go and laugh my head off. What else
That's
is opening?
One of my favorite things about reviewing kids' movies, by the way, is being a grown man going to these screenings and sitting by myself.
And then they text their moms.
There's Weird Uncle Dean again.
Stranger Dean Danger. What is the other movie that's opening this weekend that we should know about, if there is one?
There is one, and boy, if I could only remember what that is.
Andrea, look up whatever the other movie is Dean's about to review.
That sounds good. I'm looking it up now.
Yeah.
Anything else going on in show business?
I remember I gave it a Dean's List B. I just don't remember what it is. Steve, I don't know if you know that it's 2 hours earlier here.
That's what I heard. But yeah, have you seen anything? Heard anybody?
Mike and Dave need wedding dates.
Oh, that's it. That's it. That's it.
That actually looks a little funny.
It is a little bit funny. It's Zac Efron. It's
Anna Kendrick.
Adam Devine. Yeah. Adam Devine from Workaholics. It's Anna Kendrick and Aubrey Plaza. Mike and Dave are brothers, and they have to go to a destination wedding, and they're sort of known for being, you know, crazy, destructive, wild child dudes when left on their own. So their family insists that they find dates, you know, so maybe they'll be a little more sedate when they come to the wedding. So, you know, what do you do when you're looking for a date? You put an ad on Craigslist, and they find two women, Anna Kendrick and Aubrey Plaza, who are, if not more wild, you know, even crazier than they are. So, you know, let the hijinks begin. It's a, you know, hard R-rated, a very adult movie. The thing really that I like best about it reminded me of The Hangover a little bit. It's got kind of that vibe to it. The thing I like best about it, it shows that women can be just as much knuckleheads as idiot men can be.
Right. Right. Well, we've done that for a long time. I mean, look at Darlis and, you know, and Vanderbilt.
I'll second that.
I mean, they're both out of control.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. I gave that one a B also.
I feel like Dean's holding back a little bit today. Is Taylor Swift in the room with you?
I can't say that. I'm not at liberty to say. But
is Taylor Swift's grandmother in the room with you?
Grandmother? What? She couldn't have just been her mother?
Oh, right. I did skip one, didn't I?
It had to be her grandmother? I don't, if there, there's, you know, she's been frolicking on the beach with this guy, Tom Hiddleston.
Right. That's the other name you go by?
Who I think I may have lost all respect for. He was frolicking on a beach in Rhode Island over the 4th of July weekend with Taylor Swift wearing a T-shirt that said, I heart TS.
Wow. How old are we?
Emasculating. What guy would do that?
Tom Skerritt?
You sure it was Taylor Swift?
Me?
Maybe it was Tom Skerritt.
I heart Tom Skerritt.
T.S. Eliot.
I heart Tom Shales, yeah. Washington Post media critic.
Who said T.S. Eliot? Yeah. What?
He is so cute, that guy, though.
Well, not so much anymore. He's half the man he was.
I don't like him with Taylor Swift, though. I don't think it's good.
I thought we're back on
Tom Skerritt. I can't accept somebody being James Bond who's running around in a T-shirt that says, I heart T.S.
Do you feel that way when I wander around with a T-shirt that says, I heart Larry Wirt?
A little bit. Yeah. It's a little weird. Yeah. But also, on the Taylor Swift front, Steve, because I know that you can't get enough news.
Yeah.
Calvin Harris, the guy with whom she's recently broken up.
Yeah, he's a former intern of mine.
Has written a breakup song.
Oh, boy.
And the song is about somebody who cheats on him.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I refuse to believe that about Taylor Swift.
The song's called Olay, and it's written from the point of view of Calvin Harris, being in a relationship and things break up.
Yeah, I know the song. I'm not going to do it justice now, but let me just give you a piece of
okay.
it. Olay, 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 olay. That's the song.
I hope Taylor Swift's version or Calvin Harris' version is maybe a little bit different.
My goal is to keep Dean awake for another 2 hours.
Dean's waiting to review that, too.
I'm fine. I'm perfectly awake. I've got my WNUA voice for the next hour or so.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you get back to the hits.
To Taylor.
That's Dean Richards live from L.A. He'll be on a plane tomorrow. He'll be back with us on Monday morning. Thank you, buddy.
All right, bye.
Safe travels. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Ryan Dempster.
Freeman, oh, he caught it right into the palm of Dempster's glove.
Ooh,
that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go, go!
That was outstanding.
840, Ryan Dempster. MLB Network, and also likes to play wiffle ball if you're in the neighborhood. And joins us now from the road. I think he's on the road. You're always on the road. Where are you today?
Oh, I made it back last night from a beautiful family vacation. A couple weeks, we took the kids out to Vancouver and then to Yosemite and Sequoia National Park in California. So got back late last night.
And that was after coming home from Italy.
That was an adult trip. This one was nice.
I'm telling you, dude, you're not missing the road at all.
I loved it. I love that wiffle ball car. Me and Ted Lilly actually got to spend some time with him and his family over the weekend. We had an epic 4th of July Little League game just outside of Visalia, so it was a blast.
I think I could stay with you in wiffle ball if it was 1972 or 3, because you were, what, a year or two old, maybe?
And I wasn't even there yet. I don't think it was a thought in my parents' mind yet.
When were you born?
77.
77. No, I was done playing wiffle ball then, but I was an ass-kicking wiffle baller in the days, man. And we used to play one-on-one wiffle ball because, you know, if any of the other cousins weren't available, and then, Dems, what would happen is you get a hit. If I can hit you with the throw before you get to first base or second or whatever, you're out. So you'd raise a nice welter too.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. That's the old school way. You got to find a way to get it done when you only got one guy on defense.
All right, so pitchers in the home run derby. I'm the guy that always says pitchers are a little soft and these days, and that they ought to be able to have their arms trained to go a little deeper. But it's an era of specialization, and the amount of money spent on pitchers. If I was an owner, I wouldn't let a pitcher anywhere near the home run derby.
Yeah, I think. Well, I think if that was the case, I don't think they'd even want him near the mound. I think they'd want him just having a DH. But you know, it's an interesting concept behind all of it. Really, is it exciting? I think for fans to sit there and wonder if these guys are capable of doing that or being in it or watching it. Sure, it definitely brings some excitement. I think it's going to be a lot harder than pitchers realize to sit there with no, you know, when you have all of a sudden now no batting cage, for whatever reason, that dome that goes around the batting cage while you're hitting, it provides some sort of security blanket, some comfort. And you take that away and realize how hard it is to sit there and swing like that for minutes on end and trying to hit home runs. It's definitely a different beast, and I'm not really sure how it would work out, but we'll see.
Well, you see guys like Madison Baumgartner, and there's a lot of guys, well, not a lot, but there's more than maybe in the last few years in the bigs that can hit from a pitcher's standpoint. But it just, it's fatiguing. We've seen position players who go three or four rounds in a home run derby, and their second half gets affected. I mean, it's, look, it's a cute idea. That's it.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's the thing, too, and right, all it's going to take is one pitcher go out there and get hurt doing it, and was it worth it? I mean, what are we doing here? What's the end goal? The end goal to try and be healthy for a whole season. And hey, man, pitchers could do it, and nobody gets hurt, and it turned into a great time. We never know what the end result's going to be like until it actually would happen.
Have you ever had a pitcher hit one off you?
Oh man, yeah, Mike Hampton crushed one off me.
He was a good hitter.
Yeah, he was. No, he was, and this was a no doubter down in Florida, and hit an absolute bomb off me, man. I just and then I go up there looking to take him deep, obviously, and being a veteran pitcher, what did he do? He threw me like a little baby cutter under my hands, and I think I fell down swinging. So it was the worst thing that could happen. But then you realize he is a good hitter, and you just made a mistake.
So when a pitcher hits it off you, even if he's a good athlete, and Hampton was frankly probably a better hitter than a pitcher, but Hampton hits one out, is that more annoying, or is it the pinch hitter, the 205 pinch hitter, you know, with the single spray power who somehow gets around on one? Which one bugs you more?
Oh, the single spray one. I had this knack throughout my career. It was actually kind of turned into a little bit of a joke. There would always be a guy during the year that finished with one or two, and one or two of those would be off of me, like an Omar Quintanilla or a Craig Counsell, like the non-home run hitter, and somehow I found a way to like spin a slider down, and he dropped the bat and hit it around the pole, and it beat his only one all year, and I did that to Corky Miller. You know, just the one home run that the guy hit.
So no one named Corky should ever get a home run.
Right, and what a great dude too. And I happened to give up. He hit one. There was two guys during the year: Omar Quintanilla and him. In one season, they both hit their only home run off me.
Hey, Deb, it's Mark Harmon. What do you do with Wilson Contreras? Because it seems like they want him to be catching every day, but yet you don't want to rock the ship too much. And guys like Miguel Montero, the classic veteran, saying, "Hey, he needs to be behind the plate to learn the pitcher." So if you're really going to have this guy catching come playoff time, maybe he needs to be out there more.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think they're doing a good job of easing them into it. You got pitchers who, have a routine and they're used to throwing to guys and how guys catch, and he can sit there and watch that. He's been playing some left field, and just continue to work on it. And then eventually, he'll get thrown into it and he'll start catching a lot more. That's inevitable. But for right now, you want to kind of, you have this luxury of being able to kind of help him learn along the way and learn from Rossi and learn from Miguel how to go about catching these guys at the big league level, so that when you are out there every day and that pressure is on you to catch six days a week, 7 days a week, that you can do it and do it with ease. And I think that the plan's worked so far. He's done great. You know, he's a great kid. He's going to learn really fast and continue to just get better and better and rack up the innings behind the plate, not just out in left field or off the bench.
So does a veteran pitcher, like if that was you and you're, put yourself in John Lackey's shoes, a new catcher comes in as a rookie, do you not want to throw to him? Well, you wouldn't say that.
No, you got to test the waters, right, and work together as a team and as a unit. And, you know, there's always that stuff put into, oh, I'm not going to throw this guy, or I don't like throwing to him, or his target's this. And all that gets corrected with just time together conversation, communication is, this is what I like to do. This is how it goes in certain situations for me. This is what I like to go to. This is where I like to throw my pitches. It takes a little bit of time, but when it happens, what a luxury you have behind the plate, a guy who can hose anybody in the big leagues at second base, probably from his knees. He's got that good of arm, tons of energy behind the plate, and it's going to be a huge, huge piece of the puzzle as the season goes on here in the second half.
Talking to Ryan Dempster, the Pirates won their seventh straight. They're now ahead of the Cardinals, and I think 7.5 back, or is it more than that, the Cubs? Look, 8.5 back. Here's the thing about the Cubs. I firmly believe this. The worst thing the Cubs could do at this age, relative age of the team, is start thinking. They're playing a kid's game the way it should be played. They're just going out and having fun. However, you go on this mini skid the way they're on, and, you know, thinking could be a problem. So how does Joe Maddon keep them from thinking?
Yeah, well, I mean, Joe's a pretty smart guy. He knows what he's doing, and these guys know what they're doing. And, you know, I think, you know, one of those things that they know that they're doing is they know that this is a long season and there's going to be ups and downs. Just like there's this tremendous euphoric high at the beginning of the season when you're, you know, winning 9 out of every 10 games, there's going to be some lulls. There's going to be some times where as a pitcher, you know, they always say as a starting pitcher, you get 35 starts. You're going to have 5 good ones that you don't even have to worry about. You're going to win those games. You just roll out there, you're going to win. You're going to have 5 that you lose. And then it's the other 25 starts. What do you do with those? And I think you're going to have moments where so the starting pitching goes through, you know, a blip in the radar. The bullpen goes through a tough time. But you just got to keep your nose to the grindstone and keep doing what you need to do. And Joe knows that. Those players know that. And they'll turn this little skid around. And, you know, sometimes they're good to have, too. They put you in check and get you back into what you need to be doing right and go out there and you finish strong here the last 4 games through the All-Star break, have a nice little break, and then come out strong after the break.
I was going to say, does the break help because it breaks the bad momentum, if there is such a thing?
Yeah, it just helps in general. I think especially when you do have a little bit of, you know, we have a combination of a young team and a veteran team. It's good for veteran pitchers to get those few days, extra days off. You come out feeling refreshed. I always felt like, you know, good or bad, if you're going good or you're going bad, that those days off, those 3 days off, even though half the team doesn't get those 3 days off because they'll be out there, it does help out. It helps out even more so from a mental side than a physical side, just to get a breather and get a little bit of time with your family and friends and enjoy a few days off before you get back at the full grind of trying to finish out a championship season.
It's Ryan Dempster. And before I let you go, White Sox on a nice little run now. They're back to 3 over, and in that central in the AL, you got to believe that they're within striking distance as you go into the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to play well going into the All-Star break will be huge for them. And then, you know, you got these 2 wild cards now, and you don't necessarily have to win your division. The Indians are playing so well. They have momentum on their side, but the White Sox aren't that far away. And just because the Indians got hot from, you know, May and June, maybe it's the White Sox turn in August to September. Maybe it's, you know, their turn to try and catch up. And that's the thing about a 162-game season is you never know. And it's always – we want to be quick to give out awards in April and May and give away trophies, but hey man, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and these guys are hanging tough right there, and they could get going just like they did at the beginning of the season and get right back in this thing in no time.
It's Ryan Dempster, and when he's not watching Little Leaguers or listening to me tell great wiffle ball stories of old, he's here talking Cubs and talking White Sox. And where's your next trip? You must be going somewhere again.
No, nothing on the agenda right now. Just going to enjoy the summer back here. It was a great way to start out summer vacation on that, and just watching a lot of baseball games and doing that and enjoying that. Maybe a concert or two at Wrigley Field and have some fun this summer here in Chicago.
We've got to get you down here one morning. We'll figure out
when it
works for you.
Yeah, we'll figure out a good time. I'd love that. Face-to-face is always nice. You know, I feel so lonely on this other end when I don't get to see you.
Hugs. There you go. Come here, Tiger. All right, buddy. Thank you. Eric Bolling from Fox News after 9. I'll tell you more about the Gretchen Carlson mess there as well.
For those of you wondering if I'm going to ask Eric Bolling if Roger Ailes ever hit on him, the answer would be no. But if he wants to talk about it, that's fine. Texters, my question all week has been, how do we make America greater? Hillary Clinton is non-aspirational. Donald Trump thinks America's a disaster. I think America's pretty great.
It is great.
How do we make it greater? Here are some of the suggestions you've brought up this week. Register to vote and be informed. Spend a few minutes online actually doing homework about the people you're voting for. It's good.
It's true. You should.
Say please and thank you. It's not hard and it will be remembered.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? No phone talk when you're checking out of anywhere.
Agreed.
Get off your phone. Check out, pay for whatever you're buying, and get out of the way.
The rudest part about that is to the actual person that's working.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it also sucks if you're behind the person and they're taking extra time. Yeah. No texting in crosswalks, no texting at traffic lights. If you're in the car, I mean, drive the car.
I agree.
And no texting when you're on a bike path. I have almost hit people, so many who are walking and texting, and I'm on a bike, and I almost run them over because they're like, la, la, la.
Oh, they're wandering?
Yeah, they're wandering in the bike path. You
right.
know, you're supposed to stay to the
Not
right.
Not safe. You know where you should text? On your lawn.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and sit in your lawn.
Make sure you're sitting down.
Do you really not text in the car? Because if I was to stop that, I'd have to put my phone in the trunk. It's like a magnet. I can't.
Then you should put your phone in the trunk.
I should, yeah. But I don't.
Well, you text and drive? Or when you stopped?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You text and drive.
No, I
look at me.
Yes.
You text and drive.
Oh, wow. Look at that power.
I would
You're
say,
going to have an accident.
I wouldn't say
You're
it has.
You're going to have an
I've
accident.
I've been way better with it. Way, way, way better.
Okay, but don't put your phone somewhere where you can't reach it.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
That's what they should invent. Something that goes on the outside of the car for people like me.
Don't use handicap parking unless you actually need to use handicap parking.
Oh, yeah. We were saying that yesterday. It's true.
What is that?
No, I know somebody who does that. I don't do that. I know someone who does it all the time. Wrong.
Because someone has a placard?
Right. Because someone in their family.
Oh, and they use the placard.
And they're just going to run in for a second?
Well, it's not even running for a second. They use it all over the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on.
But if you're driving with that person in the car, it's okay.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, this
what
is just
if you
people
don't get
who
out
and abuse
you,
it and, yeah. and don't
yeah.
need
yeah,
it.
Yeah, people that are taking advantage of the situation. Make your best effort to work for a living. You know,
agree.
In other words, if you can, do.
Yeah.
Complain less and do more. Ask not what your country will do for you. Ask what you'll do for your country. Call the people you love and tell them.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Could
like
all be
that
better
one.
At that. Get out of the way. In general, get out of the way. For instance, I'm not saying this happened, but let's say you're on a road trip and you're at a gas station in Indiana and a guy in front of you is blocking the pumps and you ask him to move his car and he says, just give me a second, and he's making sandwiches in the back seat. That's a guy that needs to move his car.
It's a great example.
Yeah, not that it happened.
No.
I think you're talking about self-awareness.
Well, most of this is, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Use turn signals. Just say no. If somebody gets invited to something or if somebody can't do something, just say no.
What do you look at me? I've gotten better.
I'm looking at everybody.
You know what I did this weekend? I emailed a no response. I waited a couple hours.
Yeah.
And then I emailed.
You made sure the person wasn't around to get the email?
That's right. I was so passive aggressive.
Don't take little kids to an R-rated movie or outside to a dinner if they're not ready to handle either. And little kids in an R-rated movie is a bad idea.
Yeah.
1983 Flashdance Highland Park Movie Theater, $1.50.
Was that your first
yes.
sexy type movie? Mine
yeah.
was Officer
Who
and
took
a Gentleman.
Your mom and dad?
Yes. My dad asked the guy at the, what's in this movie that... 10-year-olds shouldn't see that. Well, there's profanity and nudity. Great, we'll take 3 tickets.
Mine was Officer and a Gentleman. My dad actually thought it was about an officer and a gentleman.
Well, of course
there's so much more.
A couple more of these, I should say. Take advantage of the free education offered. Put away your phone and read. If you know how to read, read.
Well, you could argue that you're reading your phone.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
11 minutes after 9, final hour of the program. Steve Cochran, we continue live from the greatest radio studio on the planet, the Allstate Showcase Studio, live on Michigan Avenue. Beautiful day. Maybe some thunder and some lightning tonight. I have the entire show come to my house and cuddle me late at night to make sure I don't get frightened. And then tomorrow and the weekend, I think it's looking promising again.
What's that look for?
It's a long drive for us.
I know it is, but listen, that's the kind of commitment. That's the kind of commitment you have to the show.
That's right.
Eric Bolling standing by. You know him best probably from the 5 on Fox News. Wake up America, the 9 virtues that made our nation great and why we need them now more than ever. And aren't you a Chicago guy? Do I have that right?
I am. Born and raised, North Side.
What school?
Loyola Academy.
I'm about a ham for Loyola.
But I live in the city. I lived in Saugerness, Peterson and Cicero.
Anybody owe you money that you want to call out right now that lives here?
Jim Cramer, the big financial guru, if you read the book, you'll find out he owes me. He hasn't owed me. He owes a charity $50,000.
Well, let's go, Cramer. Step up.
And he lost. He never paid up.
Weasel. Kramer. Weasel. How about any girls that turned you down in high school and now you're Eric Bolling?
I haven't heard from them. No. I'm a very happily married man with a beautiful wife and an amazing son.
It doesn't mean you can't enjoy the fact that, those girls
and all my relatives are. All my relatives are in Chicago, probably listening right now. So,
all right,
we'll leave it at that.
Again, the book, and you know what I always say, you're careless, you'll lose it. So get 2 copies and then maybe download a 3rd. Wake Up America, the 9 virtues that made our nation great and why we need them more than ever. And Eric, you know how this works. So let me just explain this to people one more time. I'm not going to ask Eric Bolling a question that he's not going to answer or that he can't answer. So the Gretchen Carlson, Roger Ailes story going on at Fox News has nothing to do with him. Now, you can say anything you want to about it, but as far as I'm concerned, let's just talk about the book.
That's what I'm here for. And by the way, people are raving about the book. I just found out last night that we made the New York Times bestseller list, debuted at number 7 on that list in the first week we were in the launch week. So it's fantastic. If you're conservative, you got to read the book. It's a conservative manuscript, bring the country back to conservative values, which I think we're being steered far left, and so much so that I wrote the book and then dedicated the book to Barack Obama because he's the one who's steering us far left. So I'm trying to pull us, drag us back to the right, a roadmap back to the conservative right.
Well, don't you want the vast middle to read it as well?
Sure, they can read it and they learn something, I think. I think the best thing you can do is when you're done reading the book, make sure you hand the book over to someone who's maybe middle or even on the left. That would be okay to do, too.
No, don't share the book. Buy the book. Stop with the sharing. You know, Eric's got to put himself through college. You know, he's got a kid. You know, when your son is in college age, it's going to be $1 billion. That'll be the tuition. So I want people to buy the book. Stop handing it off for free.
My son is off to college in 4 and 5 weeks. He's going to University of Colorado. He's leaving as a self-proclaimed conservative. I've never pushed it on him.
Well, it's nice.
They were watching Sean Hannity, and he's like, hey, you know, he has Hillary Clinton bite up. And he turns to me and says, Dad, what are we going to do if she's president? And I had never told him what to think about politics. I've never told him he knows where I am, but I've never told him that he should be there. And he's conservative. He tells me things now, and I understand the problem is 4 years from now, what am I going to get back? A liberal? Oh, my gosh.
Now, Colorado, listen, he'll have a great time in Colorado. A lot of my friends went to Colorado, and, you know, as long as you have a little bail money set aside, you guys are going to be fine. So let's fly through some of these because in the interest of time for both of us, grit. Give me a sentence or two on grit.
Grit is that American spirit, the spirit of getting back up after you've been knocked down. I don't know if you know anything about my past, but we lived in Saugerness, but there was a little part of Saugerness that was, there's like 4 houses that were really tiny little houses. My grandfather had built them and then went bankrupt, left it to my mom. My mom worked at Marshall Fields. My dad was a traveling salesman. We were poor. Way back when, there was a place called Valueville. It was like a Kmart before Kmart came along.
Right.
And I'll never forget the face my mom made, just absolute abject sadness when I brought some Pro Kids to her shopping cart and she said we couldn't afford it. I knew right then that we were part of the have-nots, part of the have. So I never had – the reason why I'm pointing this out is because I played baseball to get out of that world. I played baseball to try and compete with the big – you know, get out of the poor background. And it worked. I got drafted by the Pirates.
Right.
22 years old. 3 weeks into the season, I blow my rotator cuff and I get cut. And I have no idea what to do. And so I go back home to Chicago. And one day, my father, after moping around like 2 or 3 days, my father put the trip classified on the bed. And he said, get up and go get this job. And he had circled a Mobil Oil job tryouts for marketing reps for mobile. And I went out to the O'Hare Hilton. I stood in line with like 600 people, and I got the job for whatever reason. I just had the right timing, the right thing to say. But and then, you know, there were bumps in the road, but I think American grit, a spirit of success, is important. It's ingrained. It's why we're number one. But the left will tell you, you know what? If you lose your job, we got unemployment insurance for you. We got some Obamacare for your health. Like, we got some phones for you if you can't afford it. We got gas if you can't afford it. They're making it so easy to live off the nanny state. The grid is slowly seeping away from the country, and I think we need to get that one.
Well, back. But I will say this, too, though. I think that's something that your parents instilled in you in one way or another, and I think it's something you either have or you don't have as well, because grit is the ability to not be a victim of your circumstances because you make the choice not to be.
Yeah, I'm not claiming that it's in my DNA. I'm claiming that it's something that's important to the country and should be important to us. To passing along to your kids, yeah.
Profit, manliness, and thrift are all covered here, but talk about individuality.
Individuality is the same thing, not being afraid to be. You know, look, the book has a common thread. It's pushing back against the PC culture, politically correct culture. I went and did a book tour event at the Villages in Florida, and then I went to Vero Beach. Those two events sold out, sold every book in the store, and then, you know, hundreds of people standing room only. And what it is the conservative voice has been stifled for the better part of 10 years. People are mad. They want to be able to say what they want to say, stand up, do what they want to do, and the PC culture is destroying us, and we're pushing back against it. So be an individual, say what you want to say, and don't be afraid that someone's going to take offense to what you're saying.
And that ties into pride, right? Self-pride, pride in your community, pride in where you live, pride in your kids.
Big picture, keep going. Yeah, big picture, pride in all that. And I end it with pride in your country. Too many people are burning flags on college campuses right now and thinking it's okay. So I'm a hugely pro-military but also pro-law enforcement guy. We should be proud of them, and we should be, you know, hat-tipping them or buying them a beer or a bagel or a donut whenever you see them in the store.
You also cover Providence in here as well. I know you got other interviews to do, but for a Chicago guy to have a best-selling book on the New York Times bestseller list and not try to collect that money that Kramer the Weasel owes to that charity, I mean, you're a stand-up dude today. It's a good thing you were here. We were able to clear the air on this.
Thank you. Go to ericbowling.com. Pick up a book. They're going fast.
All right, Seaman. Eric Bowling from Fox News and The Five on Fox. And for those of you who are wondering, I think I just showed you something that I wouldn't have shown anywhere else. Eric Bowling and I would have tremendously disagreed on Donald J.
Right.
So I chose, because, you know, he agreed to do the interview to talk about the book, to not talk about Donald J.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Are you calling him Donald J. now?
DJ.
Okay.
DJ Trump.
Got it.
It's a mature Steve Cochran right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at him.
Here's the Gretchen Carlson story. And again, it has nothing to do with bowling or anybody else at Fox until it does. Gretchen Carlson says that she was sexually harassed by Roger Ailes, the chairman of Fox and the guy that started Fox News, and consistently, vociferously, didn't try to hide it, talked to other people. And she is very specific in her claims and what she said. He did what she said he said, and she was removed from that hideous Fox morning show. What's it called? Get up and throw up. What is it?
What is it called?
Good day.
Sunshine.
Dopes. What is it?
No, I don't know what it's called.
There's a guy on the show named Steve Doocy. I'm not making that up. And Steve Doocy supposedly sexually harassed Gretchen Carlson as well. Now, these are claims. These are not facts. However, the specificity of what Gretchen Carlson says and her careful delineation of these charges, supposedly including diary dates and verbiage of what was said and what people wore at the time, it's pretty specific. So I think Fox has a big problem on their hands, on top of the fact that 10 other women as of yesterday afternoon who work or did work at Fox have come forward and claimed the same.
This morning they said at least 10 now.
Fox and Friends, by the way. Yeah.
Fox and Friends. Yeah.
Steve Doocy.
I just a little Gretchen Carlson in an exchange. What is this from, Jake?
This is from Fox and Friends. This is back in 2012.
All right, listen.
Headline time.
Women are everywhere. We're letting them play golf and tennis now. It's out of control.
You know what? You know what?
She's out.
You read the headline since men are so great. Go ahead. Take them away.
All right, finally.
Take them away.
Okay.
Go ahead.
leaving an all-male crew.
In all your glory. Go for it.
In all my glory. Now to your headlines. She needed a shower anyway. HGTV admitting it does take creative liberties.
Is that when she walked off?
You know, that was some of your best reading
ever. It was fantastic.
I mean, there were no gaffes whatsoever.
And a lot of women's copy was in there, and I was able to do it as a male.
So now this story is definitely a chick story. This is why I'm going to read
total
it.
Total woman.
Oh, okay. Let's see if it is. It's shocking and downright disrespectful.
It's a bit of the awkward exchanges that took place on that show. I don't think that was Steve Ducey, though. That was the other clown.
I got another name for him.
That's Brian Kilmeade or Maid or something.
Is it? I don't know the name of the other guy. They're both just beauts.
It's ridiculous.
And the sexual harassment that is claimed to have taken place in some cases in private meetings and some not so much. But Roger Ailes apparently has also said to other people who are willing to claim this under oath or say this happened under oath that he would hire a woman if he could imagine himself sleeping with her. And that's not the term he used. And he would hire a man if he could imagine going to a game with him and not being annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a beaut.
So, Fox News. That's a big, big, big story at Fox News right now. And, again, we'll see where it goes from here. But the phrase Bill Cosby of Fox News is being thrown around this morning, and I don't think you want to be tagged with that. It's 9:23. We're back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. Nine 26. What's Ricky Williams up to these days? I don't know why Bob Marley reminds me of Ricky Williams. Oh, yes, I do.
Which Ricky Williams? The football player?
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think he's up to these days?
Judging by the tune, hanging out. Does he own his own, perhaps, what do they call it? Brewery? Pottery?
Pottery?
A pot distillery, I think it's called.
A pot shop is not called a pottery, though it should be.
I think I invented a word that, or changed it to its better form and
Ricky
use.
Williams plans to open a gym allowing members to smoke weed while they work out.
All right.
All right, now,
imagine
I realize...
Imagine the vending machines in that gym.
I realize that I'm in the minority here, but I've never smoked pot.
For real? Wow.
No.
Can I say I haven't either?
I've never tried medical marijuana.
Me neither.
I've been downwind on it many times.
What's wrong with you people?
But I never have. I just can't imagine. You know how when you're standing in line trying to get on the stepper or trying to get on the ellipse or trying to get on the treadmill and the guy won't get off? At the pot gym, he won't get off because he's sleeping or he's waiting for someone to bring him Pringles.
Well, I think Ricky's vision is that you have a great workout and then you get to the lawn chair and you chill and you celebrate it.
Well, doesn't weed make you want to eat a lot of junk food from 7-Eleven?
Yeah, but you... Well,
okay, so the minute you leave the gym... Well, maybe it's a great business model because you're going to need it more than ever. You work out, you go eat the Pringles, and then you go right back to the gym.
Or, you know, he makes just a slight alteration from the Pringles to some kale something, and now that's the new munchie.
In related stories, Snoop Dogg may be performing at the Democratic Convention where you will be in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Get a good concert going on.
Have you tried weed?
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg, yeah. By the way, if Snoop Dogg performs there, he actually gets a free membership to Ricky Williams' gym. So everything seems to be related.
Can I ask a pot question?
Yeah, go ahead. But ask Carmen, because I obviously...
Carmen, when you... Does he want you to smoke the pot before you work out or after? Like, what is the when's the proper time to smoke the pot?
I'm guessing, considering Ricky's history, that he doesn't exactly mind when you smoke it, because I think Ricky's tried all times a day.
Now, you've kicked heroin, though, haven't you?
I have. Okay. I have. Okay. Well, for me, you know, marijuana did not become a gateway drug, so I've got that on my side. Are you proud of me, Steve?
In a related story, the best fried chicken in all 50 states is a list that came out yesterday. Did you know yesterday was National Fried Chicken Day?
No.
I did know that.
Yeah, yesterday, National Fried Chicken Day. Where in Illinois, according to mentalfloss.com, is the best fried chicken? Where in Illinois?
Popeyes.
I'm going to...
Did someone say fried chicken?
I'm going to say...
Yeah, Grisanich, you'll eat a chair. You would know.
What?
So what? Where is the best fried chicken in Illinois?
Oh, I know.
Oh.
White Fence Farm.
I know where mine is at. I know where I find mine.
Well, what's the answer?
Honey butter.
What?
It's honey butter, isn't it?
It's that.
What's the answer?
I was going to say Mariano's has pretty good fried chicken.
Oh my
so does Jewel.
Yeah, my
Jewel's
guess is honey butter as well.
Is pretty good.
I love honey butter. It's up on the north side off of
Del Rey's Chicken Basket.
Oh. Really?
Del Rey's on 55, right? 55 on this, going south?
I don't think I've ever been there.
Del Rey's Chicken Basket, you know, the old Route 66.
How did we miss Fried Chicken Day?
I don't know.
I think, Mary, are you behind this?
Del Rey serves up to 2,000 pounds of its slow-cooked chicken every single week. You know, the best fried chicken I've ever had in Chicago, by far, is Oprah's chef.
Oh, your guy, yeah.
Who, at Table 52. He made fried chicken that you would have committed a crime over.
Fried chicken and waffles. So good.
Well, you had fried chicken night. You had to go on the night where the fried chicken was made. And the biscuits were also illegal. In 49 of the 50 states.
They're the kind of biscuits that if you put it on a napkin, the napkin would turn shiny from the grease.
Let me tell you, they're the kind of biscuits that if we bombed Afghanistan with them, all wars would end.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Oh, I got to go get some chicken.
We didn't have any chicken here yesterday, Steve, because then all your hands would all be greasy and you can't touch the equipment.
Like that would stop Steve.
Andre has plenty of wipes.
Yeah, we got lots of wipes.
I got Purell. Yeah. I got all kinds of Purell.
That sounds like the real reason.
Yeah. Yeah,
Mary forgot it was fried chicken day.
You forgot how this show started. I was talking about the prom, and I said, Sandberg, what do you do when somebody asks you the prom? What did you say?
No.
That's right. So when Steve wants fried chicken, he gets the same attitude. We're back to the big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
In my house, it's not much to talk about, but it's filled with love that's grown in southern ground. And a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday.
Just like birthdays, we do most things a week late. This is the day after National Fried Chicken Day. Steve Grzanich in mourning in the newsroom.
He forgot it.
He's actually abandoned his post. That's how sad he is. But here's some of my favorite named chicken places. In West Virginia, you got to go to the Dirty Bird in Morgantown. In Washington, it's Ezel's Famous Chicken. Washington State, that is. How about in Vermont? In Vermont, you have to go to Misery Loves Company.
Oh, that's a good name.
And in Texas, Max's Wine Dive. Does that sound like a place for chicken?
No.
It's delicious. They got Stroud's on there from Kansas City. It's a big-time winner.
Not on the list.
That's I think anything with dive at the end of it, you're going to find good food.
Yeah, and probably a quick trip to the hospital.
Maybe.
In New Jersey, chicken galore. Chicken galore.
That sounds funny.
In Maryland, hip-hop fish and chicken. Common and I go there whenever we're in Maryland
together. I bet you do, yeah.
Yeah. And in Nebraska, Big Mama's.
That's
the real
place.
Deal.
Yeah. Big
that's
Mama's.
The real deal. Quick hi to one of our friends and partners here at WGN, who also a big supporter of your Chicago Blackhawks, the CEO and head honcho at MB Financial Bank, Mark Hoppe. Mark, how are you?
Great. Terrific to be here this morning.
Nice to see you. I know you're going to be on with Grzanich on the opening bell soon, but I just want to say a public thank you for all the things you guys do at MB Financial Bank and the support you throw to the Hawks and us as well.
Well, we love the community. The community does a lot of great things for us, and we've got to give back, and we want to give back, and so that's what it's all about.
Core value at MB, I assume?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How'd you get into banking?
Let's see.
Do you have a banker in a family, father, grandfather?
No. My father had his own CPA firm in a small group of small towns in Wisconsin. And for whatever reason, I thought it was something I wanted to do. See, what in the old days, banking was kind of 3-6-3. You know, you borrow the money at 3%, you loan it out at 6%, and you went to the golf course at 3 p.m.
Right.
It didn't work out that way for me.
Not anymore. You're actually there all day. All day. What is it? Now, you guys must have forecast some of that stuff, sit around and try to figure out what the future of it is. It's not, you know, everybody goes, it's all going to be an ATM in your phone. There's still got to be human-to-human contact, right?
Right. It's interesting. You know, as we look forward, you know, one of the biggest things that I think will happen in the next 5 years in our industry is technology, the continuing advancement of it. But it's a people-to-people business. That's why banks like us survive and thrive, because we understand that part of it, and we understand the human touch.
Well, it's nice to have you here. I know you have some work to do while you're in the tower. We appreciate that. But I wanted you to know that the woman that greeted you is our producer, Mary Sandberg. And because Mary Vandeveld has owner's rights to the name Mary on the show, we've been calling her Sandberg. Well, she's engaged to be married to Pat Boyle from Comcast. So when she marries Pat Boyle, her initials will become
MB. Awesome. So in an effort to try to figure out what to call her, we were very, very close to going to MB because Mary means business.
That is a great,
right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that work?
That is terrific.
That.
Doesn't
yeah.
get any because, better than
because
that.
Because I'm not calling you Boyle. I'm telling you that right
no,
now.
No, I don't want that. So I love the MB brought to you by MB Financial.
That's right.
There you go.
MB means business. There and here. Nice to see you. I appreciate you stopping in for a second.
Thank you very much. Honored to be here.
And thanks to MB as well. All right, 9:45, Bill and Wendy Show coming up at 10 on 720 WGN. So many stories, so little time. And who's in for Bill and Wendy today at 10?
Me and Bill.
Oh, look at that.
And this afternoon, your friend, Ana Balaval and Bill.
Ana Balaval!
Yep. Should be in studio.
The name's so nice, you have to yell it twice.
Ana Balaval!
1-3 yesterday with Bill was really good.
I don't
Was that you? That oh, okay.
Scott Carmen was in there. It was amazing.
Have you ever tried to say Ana Balaval without yelling?
No.
No, don't. You'll hurt yourself. We've got some sound I wanted to play for you before we run out of time today on the show. Donald Trump yesterday had some problems while he was giving one of his epic speeches. Mm-hmm. And it turns out one of the problems was an insect, and it was not one of the people in the crowd. So stop that. Don't make up your own jokes. Here's Donald Trump at the podium. Ride this ride.
The Democrats... Ooh, there was a mosquito. I don't want mosquitoes around me. I don't like mosquitoes. I don't like those mosquitoes. I never did. Okay, speaking of mosquitoes. Hello, Hillary. How are you doing? So.
What? What?
So the Democrats.
What?
What color is the sky in his world?
I don't understand how any of that. You got to save that for the permanent file. I have a feeling Donald Trump on mosquitoes will come up again and again and maybe one more time after that.
I don't like those mosquitoes. I never did.
Meanwhile, Newt Gingrich, who is actually 3 or 4 years older than Donald Trump and allegedly the grown-up in the room, continues to get a lot of chatter about potentially being Trump's vice president. What does Donald Trump say about Newt? What does Donald Trump think about Newt being a part of team, and you know the new name, DJ.
DJ, yeah.
DJ Trump.
DJ.
What does he think about that? How does he feel about the Newtster? Oh, he's all in, baby.
We like Newt. And I'll tell you what. Newt has been my friend for a long time. And I'm not saying anything, and I'm not telling even Newt anything, but I can tell you in one form or another, Newt Gingrich is going to be involved with our government. That I can tell you. He's going to be involved. He's smart. He's tough. He gets it. And he says, I'm the biggest thing he's ever seen in the history of politics. And I. Now, Newt's going to be involved if I can get approval from his wife. That may be tough, but that's okay.
You know the key phrase there. He says, I'm the biggest thing ever in politics. That's how you stay on the short list. And that's the only way you're going to stay on the short list.
Meanwhile, Newt's going, I'm back.
Does he think he's winning? Do you think he really believes?
I don't know how you quantify anything between those years.
Yeah, it's a bad question by me.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you ever answer that? What is that guy thinking?
Now, I will say this. Whatever dye he's using on that orange flop on top of his head could have seeped into his brain. Maybe we could find a time when Donald Trump was normal.
What?
Maybe it's the dye.
Let me go back. Hold on. I gotta start searching this.
I do know this. The guy from Flock of Seagulls is suing him for hair copyright infringement.
Because he ran so far away?
No, it's that and the flip. Bernie Sanders, meanwhile, any minute now is going to give up his Secret Service detail and declare it's over. But not so fast. Not so fast. You see Hillary Clinton's now promising free college? Oh, yeah, yeah. If you're a family that makes $85,000 or less, Hillary says you're not going to have to pay for college. How are you going to pay for it, Hillary?
You know what? Education Secretary Bernie Sanders. That's what she'll do.
Everything's free. Your books are free. Your condominiums are free. Whatever your kids are using, it's all free. Your bongs, your bings, your bangs, all those are free too.
That's really strong.
Bernie Sanders on with Wolf Blitzer yesterday. Wasn't he?
I think it was a serious investigation.
What about Loretta Lynch, the attorney general? You have confidence in her?
Yeah, no.
Do you have confidence in the way
Look, Hillary... Jack, all I can tell you is, you know, you're asking me questions. All I can tell you is there is a process underway. And
but it looks like the process is over with.
No, it's not over.
The U.S. Governor Trump.
I suppose he should as well.
So you think they should go
Jack,
forward?
You're asking me questions. What do I know? Of Wall Street and big money interest. That's what I'm trying to do. And when we do that, Jake, you're going to have a lot of enthusiasm.
Wolf,
I am sorry. I'm looking at the sign over there.
I'm looking at the sign. What sign? Is there a sign that says Jake with an arrow pointing towards Wolf? What a sign.
I don't know what your name is. Just where's my soup? Somebody said there'd be soup. It's 9:53. Bill and Andrea in for Bill and Wendy. Coming up, 720 WGN.
Wolf, I am sorry. I'm looking at the sign over there.